This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Minicamp mandatory starts tomorrow out in Ashburn. Ben Standing is with us, as he is every Monday and Friday on this program. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Ben Standing. He's got a podcast called Last Man Standing, and he writes, of course, for The Athletic. So mandatory minicamp means it's mandatory, or you get fined. Are we expecting Terry McLaurin to show up for mandatory minicamp or not?
I don't know. There is the idea of doing the hold in. So you show up in the building, but don't actually work out, and then guess they can't find you. There is that possibility. But look, again, we went through this a few years ago with him, and he did stay away. So certainly possible. And if he is trying to, if he and his agent are trying to send a message that they're not happy with the process or whatever Washington is potentially offered, et cetera, then, you gotta, go all in and make the point ladder. But, we'll find out tomorrow.
We'll find out tomorrow. I would assume that Tunsil will be there, and I would assume that Lattimore would be there. Any belief otherwise?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I have not heard, nor has there been any reports. Like, both those guys are in, like, sort of contract-y situations. They both have some time on their deals, but, you could justify, I could see in their head they'd be like, hey, why don't we get an extension here? But I have not heard any of that, and, I don't see that being the issue. Therefore, you would think they would be here this week for these activities. I mean, Lattimore has not been around at all, and I think as much as obviously Terry is the main guy, and therefore garners the most interest. Lattimore's situation to me is the most fascinating because of the health situation from last year. Where is he at with his hamstrings? These are not like terribly strenuous practices, but there's going to be at least two in a row, maybe a third, depending on what they do on the last day. Is he out there the whole time? Does he take breaks? What's going on? I'm curious to see what he looks like for sure.
If they make him available, what are the questions asked to Marshon Lattimore?
Look back at last year, what did you think? I'm sure he's not going to say it was a difficult transition, but between the transition, the injury, and then, when he comes back to be able to play the second time, it's thrust right into the playoffs. I mean, I have not been around him a ton, but, I don't see him as being an overly reflective guy, so I don't know that we're going to get, like, a real answer beyond just, hey, no big deal. I just got to play better, that type of deal, so that stuff. And then also, what did he do this offseason? The hamstrings have been a lingering issue. Has he tried to do anything to solve the problem? And maybe it's not something that's solvable, but where is he at with that. And then, you know, some of the other just basic stuff, you know, what did you, you know, how did you think about your fit here with this system and so on and so on. So I think those would be probably some of the ones off the top of my head.
What are, and other than Lattimore and Terry, what are the other big storylines tomorrow and Wednesday?
I don't know, really. I mean, you know, I think the offensive line is going to be constantly interesting just to see where guys are lining up. Again, it's way too early for anything for that to matter. And particularly on the lines, like it really, even the, you know, the staff, like, look, we really can't tell too much with the line play and to some degree the running backs as well until we get into pads. And even then, it's probably until you get to like preseason games. But, you know, how they're lining up, you know, is interesting for sure. You know, with the Josh Connerly, Brandon Coleman, Andrew Wiley situation in particular. You know, with Debo Samuel, just you know he's looked fine so far. You know, how does that continue? And you know, I guess I would also just broadly, you know, everything has looked hunky dory in terms of vibe out there. And you know, just to continue with that, I don't see any reason why that wouldn't continue. But you know, that to me is, you know, the vibe check is going to be something that I'll keep an eye on throughout the offseason.
Talking to Ben Standing. I don't think we talked about this player last week because we spent a lot of time talking about Terry, talking about Lattimore, talking about Daron Payne and what was said about him. But they seem very excited about Quan Martin, but we did learn something about Quan Martin last year. The injuries and the fact that, you know, he essentially got benched at one point. I didn't remember the specifics of that. Refresh everybody's memory.
Well, he was benched in the offseason. It wasn't during the season. And Joe Witt Jr. the other day told us that basically that Quan Martin was making way too many mistakes for his liking and the types of mistakes that were, you know, going to be punitive for his defense. So they, for a practice, so they dropped him down to the second unit the following practice. And then the next three practices, according to Joe Witt, Quan Martin was, you know, playing at a much higher level and more or less that continued throughout the year. So, you know, this is a good example of like, you know, when we say, you know, is what do the lineups look like in camp? Sometimes it is just trying different guys in different spaces. And other times it is, hey, we're trying to send a message to you here. But obviously Quan Martin had a pretty good year. You know, none of us knew that he had issues with both shoulders that led to off-season surgery. So the fact that he was able to play, keep going, and, you know, play at a pretty good level says something about his toughness for sure. And, I think he's like one of the guys on defense in particular where you're like, okay, what's the upside here? Like there might actually be a legitimate one. You know, I don't know if he's going to be one of the better safeties in the league, but, you know, who knows? We'll see. But, yeah, I think, you know, his development going into his third year, it seems like he's been here a lot longer than 2 years, but his development going into his third year will, you know, it's one of those players that I'm not going to say it's going to like completely change the defense if he has a really good year, but you know, there's something there perhaps that'll give this defense a little more pop on the back end.
Speaking of the back end defensively, you know, again, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's OTAs, and this is going to be mini camp upcoming. It's early June. But the early returns or the early word on Trey Amos is that people who watched him last week think they got it right with him. What did you think?
Yeah, I think he did well. I saw some aggregation headline of like Trey Amos locking up Debo Samuel or something, which is garbage. I mean, there's nothing to be locking up here at this point. But yeah, he definitely has looked good. I mean, you know, again, that's of like, you know, look, Josh Connerly, I know Adam Peters said he was sweating it out the whole first round, basically that he would slide there. Okay. I mean, it felt like Connerly, that's the general range he was expected to go, but okay. Whereas, like, with Amos, like, you know, it is possible they got a legit deal here based on what, you know, you'd heard pre-draft and, you know, what the way he's discussed, you know, this apparent back injury or concern, maybe had some teams looking in other directions. But, you know, it doesn't sound like that's a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, he could be he could be a big addition for this group. And you know, to get a cornerback with his size, he's got good speed, coverage skills. You know, if all that translates and plays out, you know, to have, again, I go back to last year at this time when you were looking at Benjamin St. Juice, Emmanuel Forbes, and Mike Davis is like your basic top three outside corners. Sanders still was in the slot at that point. To go from that to this group, it's just like, whoa. I mean, you know, even if Lattimore doesn't get back to a Pro Bowl level, you know, he's still a pretty solid guy. So, yeah, I mean, this is this group on paper has improved a lot. And I think Amos, with his potential, you know, he'll be on a rookie contract for a few years. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be excited about that. But, you know, look, I mean, you know, admittedly, you know, Forbes looked pretty good as a rookie, and then things kind of fell apart. If a rookie at this point of the offseason. So, you know, a long way to go. But, yeah, so far, so good for sure.
Do you think they should have any interest in Jair Alexander?
Not really. I mean, sure, if the money is right and all that, but, like, I imagine somebody out there, if not multiple somebodies, will offer him enough money to not make it worth Washington's wild. You know, obviously they've got, you know, yeah, I would just say that. I mean, like I said, you know, there's almost every position you could always say you can add more help. But, you know, again, in a realistic sense, assuming Lattimore is good and with Amos and Jonathan Jones and Sanders still, I mean, you know, they're fine there. That's not a position where you're like, wow, what are they going to do at corner? So, no, I would imagine they would get outbid for that, and so be it.
All right, a couple of very early just hunches, all right? Assuming nobody's added to their pass rushing core, who leads the team in sacks in 2025?
Ooh, I mean, Frankie Louvu would be the easy answer. You know, he was number two last year behind Dante Fowler. So there's, you know, you think he's still ascending. I guess my sleeperish guy would be Dietrich Wise. He's had some decent sack years when he was with New England. And, you know, I mean, as we've, you know, a lot, if they can get, you know, legit play inside from, you know, Daron Payne and Johnny Newton and Javon Kinlaw and that group, it's going to make it a lot easier, obviously, for the guys on the outside. And, you know, Dietrich Wise is going to give them a pretty effective run defender there. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's got an outside chance. I'm not going to say Payne, even though we've discussed the idea even before Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn praised him last week, you know, that, hey, if he can, you know, return anywhere close to that 2022 form, that would be huge for this group. But, you know, I'm not going to project a defensive tackle who's got eight sacks in the last 2 years to lead the team in sacks. That would be obviously a massive bonus if he did.
I mean, I think Louvu would be my first choice, but I think my second choice would be Dorrance Armstrong. Dorrance Armstrong's had decent sack seasons in the NFL. He only had 5 in Washington last year, but the 2 previous years in Dallas, he had 8.5 and 7.5. And then let's not forget, like, Dorrance Armstrong had 3.5 sacks, a forced fumble, and 5 TFLs in 3 playoff games. He really played well and was a factor in those 3 playoff games. So that would be, if they don't add anybody else, that would be my guess. I'm hoping it's Daron Payne, though. I'm hoping it's Daron Payne.
Sure. I'm gonna revise my answer to your Dorrance Armstrong one. That is correct. I blanked on that one for a second. Yeah, I've even mentioned that before. But the way he finished the end of the year, you know, it felt like somebody who was, you know, starting to, because he was going up a step in terms of his role with Washington. And so, you know, maybe it took a minute for that to all kind of work out. But you're right, the closing stretch was pretty good. And it's not like he had some good sack numbers at Dallas. So, yes, I'm going to steal yours and go with Armstrong.
All right, let's try not to steal each other's with this next one. Kidding. if they don't add anybody, who leads the team in rushing next year?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's way too early to go out on a massive limb here with anybody beyond Brian Robinson. I feel like as long as he's here, you know, he's going to get, you know, the bulk of
the
work.
Yeah, but don't forget, you've got the quarterback still in the conversation. He led the team in rushing last year.
That's true. I'll still say Brian Robinson. I think obviously, Jaden Daniels running is a good weapon, but adding the offensive linemen like they did, I think part of that is to have him not feel like he has to constantly get out on the move. And there were definitely some games late last season where it felt like he's like, okay, I guess I have to put this offense on my shoulders and get going. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Jaden Daniels would have to be there. But I guess maybe I'm just too old school. But give me the lead running back. Like I said, my question is just: is there a point where they think we'd rather have somebody on the field who's more of a three down, threat, can kind of do everything. And Robinson has not shown the ability to do that yet. I mean, he's been okay as a pass catcher and okay as a blocker, but it's not like they utilized him much last year in that way. And would they possibly shift into a different direction? But at the moment, that different direction would be a 7th round pick who didn't play in college last year. So I can't, that's way too much of a limb to go out on. At this point, Austin Eckler is and Jeremy McNichols have solid roles, but less is more in those cases. So yeah, I'd go Robinson until further notice. But certainly Jaden would be. You can't ignore that one.
Yeah, I think it'll be Jaden at this point. If they didn't add another back, because I think the rest of it'll be by committee, whether it's Robinson Jr. and Rodriguez and Eckler, and by the way, Debo getting carries as well. I think that the total carry, last year I was looking at this over the weekend. Brian Robinson Jr. still led the team in carries, even though he missed 3 regular season games and missed part of another. So it was 13.5 games, I think, total that he played. But I it wouldn't surprise me if those carries are spread out among, Eckler more. First of all, Eckler missed a bunch of games that he would have had a lot more carries, and his health and Brian Robinson Jr.'s health is in question going in. I think, I'm still hoping there's a chance with Rodriguez, and I think Debo's kind of an X factor there. How many carries does Debo get as a true running back in the backfield? That's got to be part of the plan with him. So I'll go Jaden on that. Last one for you. What's the worst case with Terry, and what's the best case? The best case is obvious, right? They sign him to a contract extension that isn't top 3, but it's more like top 6, top 5, top 6, and it gets done before camp. I mean, is there a better best case?
No, not
okay.
Not that I can see.
All right. So, what's the worst case?
Well, I mean, I can't see a scenario where he doesn't play this year. But it could. If the discussions get truly contentious, like we discussed the other day, one thing that would seem to be a pop, if the Washington wanted to, poke some holes in giving Terry whatever Terry might want, it would be possibly that, you know, he's going to be 30 this year, which is, you know, not old in real world, but in NFL world, it's getting up there. And, you know, he would be, other than like Tyreek Hill, would be one of the, he'd be like the second oldest player getting, you know, big money at that spot. So if the conversations go very sideways there, you know, maybe he's like, yep, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, wait it out the year. You know, I'm pretty durable. I'm going to wait it out, hit free agency next year and see where we're at. I guess that would be a problem. And I do, you know, maintain that what I'm really intrigued to see this year is, again, for all the talk about culture and, you know, all the good vibes from last year, you know, the locker rooms change every year. You have, you know, it's not static. And they brought in, you know, Marshon Lattimore. We talked about that situation. You know, Tunsil, you know, seems like a fine guy, but like Houston apparently wanted to break up the chemistry of their offensive line room, and they moved out their number one guy. So that may say something. And, you know, just some other new pieces. So, you know, you now throw in a Terry contract, you know, situation that doesn't get resolved. Again, if you're the other guys in the locker room, you got to be a little going, wait a minute, you're not paying him? Like, what's going on here? So I think that would be sort of the worst case scenario if this thing really escalates. You know, I never try to assume anything when it comes to these things, but at the same time, I try not to. You know, we see way too many times a situation seems like it's never going to resolve itself, and then shockingly, they get a deal done. So, you know, until we get to close to training camp, I'm not going to freak out about it. But, yeah, those would be the worst-case scenarios.
Yeah, the worst case to me isn't that he gets moved or he holds out. It's that he plays 2025 on the final year of his deal and tries to make it to free agency. Of course, the franchise tag would be an option. By the way, I was going to let you go, but real quickly, I just saw that you tweeted something out yesterday or maybe 2 days ago. The Tatum Bell, longtime running back in Denver and various other places, his son is a three-star recruit committed to UNLV, and it reminded you, and it would have reminded me as well, had I seen this story, that Tatum Bell was the player that Denver used Washington's second-round pick as part of the Clinton Portis Champ Bailey deal to select. That is still, to me, I'm not saying that we didn't see signs of incompetence before the offseason of 2004, but I'll never forget just saying, why would Washington be giving up the second round pick? It's the other way around. When you draft corner for running back, the team that's trading the running back gets the additional compensation, not vice versa. And it was one of those first kind of realizations, God, these people really don't know what they're doing. And Mike told me many years later, oh my God, they just asked for it, figuring that Washington would say no, and they said yes. They couldn't believe it. He said, because he said exactly right. They were expecting that they were going to have to give up more than just Clinton Portis to get Champ Bailey, but they ended up getting more. Now, Tatum Bell, just another one of those long line of, you know, night two, day three picks that ended up running fairly well for a couple of years in the Shanahan scheme. But anyway, yeah, that was my memory. Yeah. I'll never forget thinking, no, lockdown corners are the value here in the trade, not a running back. As great as Clinton was, you don't end up giving up Clinton and giving up Champ in a second round pick for a running back, even back then.
Right.
But they did.
No, for sure. The value seemed obvious, and then the fact that they made the trade was like, don't we see this as being obvious? But who can say? By the way, just as you were saying all that, I've noticed online that Laramie Tunsil, the team is taking photos today for Media Day, and Laramie Tunsil is there doing that. So we can, I guess, check that box that he's at.
Is Marshon Lattimore there taking photos?
I wasn't scrolling through. I haven't seen yet, but maybe the social media team will tweet something out about him.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thanks, as always.
Awesome. Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standig. Everybody, when we come back, something that I missed when I was out the week before last was PFF's rankings of the quarterbacks heading into 2025. Where was Jaden on that list? We'll talk about it next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. You can download the Odyssey app and listen to us wherever and whenever you want. And you can also watch the show now on our YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. That's good for us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.